You're not alone.
Hello there, and welcome to another episode of the Salt Mines X-Wing Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the backbone of the X-Wing community. That's right, people just like you, doing what they can to get better at the game. I'm your host, Sailor Joe, and we've got some big announcements this week, but first, let's head into our first segment.
List building with Joe.
And this week, we're going back to the Rebellion for this week's List of the Week. And I mentioned in the last episode that I faced against the Battle Over Endor B-Wings, and I've got a list that I think has some potential and follows that 5-5-4-3-3 point scheme that I like so much. So we start with Gina Moonsong as a Battle Over Endor B-Wing. And she's flanked by Luke Skywalker, that's Boy Luke, and Braylon Strom in the Battle Over Endor B-Wing as well. And then rounding out the list, we've got two A-Wings and Two A-Wings. We've got Jimmer, Battle Over Endor, Jimmer, and then Keo Venzi with Juke. And I think this gives you a whole lot of action economy, some heavy hitters, and yeah, they're B-Wings, but they're very efficient, and they hit hard. Yeah, so that's the list. Let me know what you think in the Discord. Let's head into the next segment. AMG Rules Forum. And looking over the forum this week, we do have a new question, and the question is Lulu Lampard with stress at range 0. OP, how many red dice does a stressed Lulu roll at range 0? Answer. While performing a primary attack at range 0, attack die cannot be added. Lulu Lampar, RZ2 A-Wing, would roll 2 attack dice while attacking at range 0, even while stressed. But being that there was only one question, I wanted to go ahead and dive into the rulebook and look at bonus attacks. So let's see what the rulebook has to say about bonus attacks. And it says, if a card instructs a ship to perform a bonus attack, it performs an additional attack during the aftermath step. A few special weapons provide a bonus attack using the same weapon. While performing this type of bonus attack, the same arc requirements, range requirements, and cost requirements are followed unless stated otherwise. For example, a ship that attacked with cluster missiles card can perform a bonus attack against another ship at range 1 of the defender and ignore the lock requirement. The range 1 to 2 and front arc and cost of spending one charge are maintained for the bonus attack. A ship can perform only one bonus attack per round. If both players have bonus attacks that trigger after an attack, the defending player resolves their bonus attack first. And then the last note, huge ships have further rules for bonus attacks. See Appendix Huge Ships for more information. All right, that's good to know. I think for me, the thing that really jumped out there was if both players have a bonus attack that triggers after the attack, the defending player resolves the bonus attack first. So that's kind of one of those things that's good to remember. All right, let's head into the next segment.
And now it's time for the main event.
As this is the last episode that I will record before Worlds, I wanted to take the time and kind of go over the Adepticon rules clarifications document that was sent out earlier this week. This document went to everyone who signed up for the LCQ and the actual world's qualifier, or not qualifier, world's event. Really, this is kind of for my benefit, because talking about it helps keep me in my head. And I had nothing else to talk about as of, a few minutes ago when I decided that I was going to record an episode anyway. But that's kind of neither here nor there. Let's go ahead and dig into the document. So we'll start with, and I'm just going to read this verbatim and kind of throw comments in. There are a number of open rules questions with unknown answers, as well as questions that have been frequently asked, compiled in this document. These are not officially sanctioned rules by AMG or endorsed by AMG in any way. These rules are intended for use at this event only. If a ruling is issued by AMG at the time, at any time up to and including the day of the event, including rules through an update to the rules reference document, tournament regulations, or a post to the AMG Star Wars X-Wing Rules Question Forum, that ruling will supersede any ruling in this document. If you have any additional questions before the event, please reach out and ask them. The event organizer expects you to play in a sportsmanlike manner. Judges will be enforcing sportsmanship and will not tolerate unsporting conduct. And that's, I'm going to just throw in a quick note here, because I've done a couple of tournaments where my opponent acted in an unsporting way, and I did not call a judge over. I will not be doing that in the future, just because it sucks. Like, no easier way to put it. When you make a concession to your opponent and then they take advantage of you, that's not good for anyone. It's not fun. So please kind of join me in that, paying attention to sportsmanlike play and call attention to that. All right. Question one. Will Battle Over Endor be legal for Worlds? Will proxies be allowed? Revised and simplified the question. Answer. Battle Over Endor will be legal during the check-in process. Further details will be provided during that process. Players that are using one of the Battle of Endor pilots in their list and were not able to obtain Battle Over Endor prior to the event will receive a proxy of the standard loadout cards from the TOs that are needed in their list. The proxies provided by the TOs will be the only proxies permitted to be used, and the proxies are only legal at this year's Adepticon. These proxies will be paperweight and sleeved. If you would like to place a card behind the proxy for reinforcement, you may do so. Player-created proxies will not be permitted. Only the standard loadout pilot card will be provided. Players are required to provide all other components, including ship-based pegs, ship model, dial, ID markers, and ship token. The ship token must be another ship token with the same initiative as a pilot being played and should not be a token that might cause confusion for their opponent. The player should make it clear to their opponent before the start of the round what each ship token is being used for. Question 2. Will intentional draws be allowed? Answer. Intentional draws will be allowed. They will be addressed at a player's meeting immediately before the start of the LCQ and World Qualifier. No, that's not Qualifier. WC. World's Challenge? I don't know. Anyway, before discussing or even mentioning an intentional draw, the player must call a judge. Only after a judge is present can you discuss or offer an intentional draw to your opponent. A player shall not discuss the benefits of an intentional draw with their opponent and shall not offer any benefit for agreeing to an intentional draw. As a reminder, players are required to conduct themselves in a sportsmanlike manner. Question 3. Does transferring a lock token behave the same as transferring a lock? Answer. Transferring a lock token will trigger a transfer of a lock. This results in breaking the original lock on the source ship and acquiring a new lock on the ship the lock token is being transferred to, ignoring range restrictions. Question 4. If a resistance ship is carrying Holdo crew, is locked by an enemy ship, and then uses Holdo to pass the lock token to a different friendly ship equipped with Ferrosphere paint, assuming the Ferrosphere paint is not in the bullseye arc of the ship who owns the lock token, does this trigger Ferrosphere paint? Answer. The transfer of the lock token is answered above. In this case, the ship which has had its lock token transferred has acquired a lock on to the transferee, and any triggers which rely on a lock being acquired on the transferee are triggered, so Ferrosphere paint triggers. 5. Oddball, Siege of Coruscant and X, Siege of Coruscant, allows a friendly ship to gain a lock on an enemy ship. Must the enemy ship be within range 1 to 3 of the chosen friendly ship? The instruction to gain a lock is the equivalent of acquiring a lock, and as a result, the range restrictions will apply. Question number 6. Can Scythe 6 ion maneuvering jet be used for a scenario action? Answer. No. A ship can perform a scenario action only during its perform action set. A ship cannot perform a scenario action if it is granted an action at any other time. Ion maneuvering jets happens before the perform action step. Question 7. When using Aryan Kraken Gunner, does Lando Calrissian, Battle Over Endor, apply the deplete token effect before or after this bonus attack? Additionally, if Lando Calrissian has no other non-lock red or orange tokens before doing the bonus attack, does Lando Calrissian have the ability to reroll the attack die because of this deplete token due to the Millennium Falcon's title? Answer. The deplete token is acquired prior to performing the bonus attack. The deplete token will be resolved during the bonus attack. After Lando rolls one fewer attack die during step 2A of the attack, because of the deplete token is removed. The deplete token is removed before step 2B. Question number 8. If a ship has sworn tactics... Sorry, I'm having trouble reading today. If a ship has swarm tactics used to treat its initiative as 6, is Suntir Fel able to use Apex Predator to reroll a die while attacking that ship? Answer. No. Swarm tactics allows a friendly ship to treat its initiative as equal to the ship with the equipped upgrade. The ship is initiative 6 in this example. This is different to heightened perception force, which allows the ship to engage at initiative 7, but does not change the initiative value. Question 9. If one of Gina Moonsong, Battle Over Endor, or Braylon Strom, Battle Over Endor, is stressed and the other is not, but is able to gain a stress during the start of engagement timing, are both pilots able to trigger the abilities requiring the other to be stressed? Answer. No. Although both Braylon's and Gina's abilities can be added to the ability queue in either order, they are both added to the queue at the same time. In order to be added to this queue, all requirements to add the ability must be met. Both Braylon's ability and Gina's ability require that the other ship be stressed in order to be able to add their ability to the queue. So if Gina is unstressed and Braylon is stressed, then only Gina is able to add their ability to the queue. Question 10. Hera B-Wing is equipped with Stabilized S-Foils, Weapon System Officer via the Blade Wing title, along with Plasma Torpedoes and a Proton Cannon. If Hera spends her lock to reroll the dice for the torpedo shot, and then reacquires a lock afterwards with Weapon Systems Officer, can she immediately spend the lock per S-Foils to also fire the cannon, or as both triggers WSO foils double tap? share the same time window, can the double tap not be added to the ability queue? Answer. Please refer to the official ruling on the AMG rules forum where, yes, Hera is able to gain the lock, then spend the lock. Question 11. Can deuterium power cells be used in combination with fine-tuned thrusters to get a lock or barrel roll action, paying a stress instead of a strain deplete for the action? Answer. Although deuterium power cells would allow you to swap out a strain or a deplete for a stress, you would now be stressed and therefore unable to perform a lock or roll action unless you have another ability allowing you to perform the barrel roll or lock action while stressed. Without such an ability, you will not be able to swap out the strain or deplete and perform the barrel roll or lock action. Question 12. Can I spin Wolf's Arc 170 charge to re-roll zero attack dice? Answer, no. Question 13. How do Republic's click and Adigala's ability to prevent a range bonus from being applied work with TIE Defender Colonel Jenyon's ability to spin a shield to apply a range 1 bonus? Answer. While click, Nimbus class V-Wing, and Adigala, Delta 7 and Delta 7B Aether Sprite, have a similar ability to prevent the range bonus, they have different functional requirements. Adi must be defending at range 1 and spend 1 force to deny the range bonus. Colonel Jenden, Battle Over Endor, cannot spend a shield to apply the range 1 bonus when at range 1 because the attack already has the range 1 bonus, therefore there's no interaction between their abilities. Click would require a lock on Colonel Jenden or the defender. Excuse me, or the defender, and to spend a charge to prevent the range bonus. Both abilities trigger while a player defends or performs an attack. The player order will determine how they are entered into the ability queue. However, no matter the player order, click prevents the range bonus. If Colonel Jenden is player 1, the player can spend a shield to provide the range 1 to apply the range 1 bonus, then click can trigger to prevent it. If Colonel Jenden is player 2, click triggers first and spends a charge, preventing range bonuses, preventing Colonel Jenden from triggering. The only difference is if Colonel Jenden is player 1, he can spin the shield only to have the benefit denied. Question 14. If Iden Versio or friendly TIE fighter at range 0 to 1 suffers multiple damage from a proximity mine or asteroid, is she able to use her ability to stop one of that damage or all of it? Answer. Iden's ability can stop all damage from both proximity mines and asteroids, as while damage is suffered individually, it is clear the intent of Iden is to prevent damage suffered in logical groups such as this. For attacks where multiple damage is suffered as part of a group, Iden has the opportunity to trigger her ability before each separate damage is suffered and will prevent that damage and all remaining damage that is part of that group. Iden can choose to suffer damage and then use her ability to cancel all remaining damage. For example, if Iden has 2 uncancelled critical hits showing while defending, Iden can choose to use her ability to cancel both critical damage or suffer 1 critical and then cancel the second. Question 15. How does the point destruction and excess damage done to Separatist Dirge get handled? Answer. When a ship is destroyed as a result of an attack, the effect triggers upon destruction are resolved during Sep 6 aftermath. Outside of an attack, Dirge triggers when it has damage card equal to its hull value, and then after triggering and resolving Dirge's effects, Dirge will suffer the remaining damage. Question 16. If Scorch gains a stress and Seventh Sister uses her ability to tractor Scorch, moving Scorch so that Scorch no longer has arc on the defender, can Scorch gain a stress token to rotate and having the defender in arc again continue the attack, or does the attack immediately end when Scorch does not have the defender in arc? A. If immediately before rolling dice during step 2A, of an attack. Scorch has arc on the defender. Scorch may perform the attack. Question 17. Am I able to look at what card I would be dealt before deciding whether or not to use the ability to trigger before you would be dealt a face-up damage card, such as Beskar Plating or Chewbacca Rebel Pilot? Answer, yes. This timing window is shared with cards such as Imperium Plating that require the damage card to be known before it is possible to know whether or not you'd be able to use that ability. Question 18. What does Padme Amidala's ability prevent? Can you give me some examples? Answer. Padme Amidala prevents a ship from performing dice modifications with more than one focus result. Dice modification is a defined term in the rules reference, page 11, adding, changing, rerolling, or spending, not solely the act of changing a die face from one face to another face. Question 19. My ship with calibrated laser targeting is affected by Padme Amidala. Can I add a focus result with calibrated laser targeting, then spend a force to convert that focus result or another focus result to a hit? Answer, no. Adding a focus result is dice modification, and spending the force would be a second dice modification. My ship with Saturation Salvo is affected by Padme Amidala. Can I spend a focus on offense to convert a focus result to a hit, then reroll an opponent's focus result with Saturation Salvo? Answer, no. The changing of a focus result is a dice modification, and rerolling a die, even an opponent's die, would be a second dice modification during the same attack. Question 21. My ship is affected by Padme Amidala. Can I spend a focus token to convert a focus result, then use Emperor Palpatine on another ship to convert another focus result during the same attack or defense? Answer, yes. Padme Amidala's restriction is on a ship defending or performing attack. Since Emperor Palpatine is on another ship, is a source of modification, Padme Amidala's ability does not prevent this second modification. And the last one, my ship is affected by Padme Amidala. My ship is also locked by another friendly ship carrying M9G8. If I roll two focus results during my attack, can I spend a focus token to convert one focus result to a hit, then use M9G8 to reroll a second focus result during the same attack? Answer, yes. Padme Amidala's restriction is on the ship defending or performing an attack. Since M9G8 is on another ship, the other ship is the source of the modification. Padme Amidala's ability does not prevent this second modification. Okay, so that is the rules clarification. There's one other doc that I want to read. And this one, and both of these, honestly, really only apply if you're going to Worlds. So if you've made it this far and you're not going to Worlds, thanks for listening. But this episode doesn't really apply to you. Maybe you just like to know. Cool. Anyway, let's start in the second doc. So the 2024 World X-Wing Championship Component Guidelines. The below guidelines are not officially approved or endorsed by AMG, but the event organizers and judges will enforce the rules and standards that AMG expects will use the below guidelines to determine which components will be permitted. The following information and chart are a summary of allowable game components and expectations for use of components for all Star Wars X-Wing events at Adepticon 2024. All components are subject to tournament regulations and Adepticon rules. All components are ultimately subject to approval of the event organizer, EO, and the decisions of the event organizer are final. Determining the legality of any questionable third-party tokens, range rulers, maneuver temperaments, and other components is the EO's responsibility. Official components refer to items from the core box, expansion, or promotional material distributed by Asmodee Global, Atomic Mass Games, or Fantasy Flight Games for the Star Wars X-Wing Miniatures line or Star Wars X-Wing Miniatures game.
Except as noted below, official components may not be modified other than to reflect ownership of a particular component. The following are not official components. A. Any of the following components from a previous edition of the game, cards, damage tech, dials, ship tokens, incorrectly sized cluster mine promotional tokens, obstacles from epic and or huge ship expansions. Third party refers to any person or entity other than Asmodee Global, Atomic Mass Games, or Fantasy Flight Games for Star Wars X-Wing Miniatures line or X-Wing Miniatures game. Each player is required to bring all the components and materials needed to play the game. Players can request to share components, but players are not required to share components unless required to do so by the EO. Stream players may be required to share components. After the place optical step of setup, all game components other than the scenario feature markers and obstacles must remain within range 1 of the player's edge of the play area. Players can only use their range rulers maneuver templates within range 1 of that player's edge to help them set up formation during deployment. Custom setup templates designed to aid players in the ship's deployment and other custom-made tools are not allowed. In using components, players may not abuse the margin of error in components and must use the components included with the game to be as accurate as possible. While on stream, when players are expected to use official components and may be required to use components provided by streamers, items that are clearly branded from other official trademark franchises such as Lego characters, Harry Potter, Star Trek, etc. will not be allowed to appear, and the player will be asked to use alternatives or remove the items from their components. So, game component. Plastic, ships, and pegs. Component-specific guidelines. Official components only. The bottom of the ship bases may be modified to add weight, anti-slip materials, or colored, so long as the modifications do not interfere with gameplay. Modifications may not alter the size and shape of the ship base. Pegs, including the connecting pegs affixed to the ship miniatures, may be modified or replaced with a different connecting method or colored as long as they do not interfere with gameplay. Ship token. Official components only. For the TIE Whisper, players may use an Antic ship token with the same initiative value or another foe ship token with the same initiative value as a pilot being played. The player should make it clear to the opponent before the start of the round what each ship token is being used for, or 2, print the replacement ship tokens printed at the correct size from the errated X-Wing reference docs, and must check with and receive EO approval of those replacement ship tokens. Miniatures, official components only, can be customized if it complies with the tournament regulations, including page 2, the rules reference, including page 42, and Adepticon rules. Cards, ship, pilot, upgrade, condition, standard loadout. Official components are required by all players, including the correct number of each card for cards used multiple times. If a card has an errata and the replacement card is available in the errata X-Wing reference, that card from the errata X must be printed and brought. Proxies outside of errata and any unofficial cards are not permitted. Standard loadout cards must be used, as standard loadout cards may not be represented by separate individual pilot and upgrade cards. Range and maneuver templates tools. Official components, but maneuver templates must have center lines. Third-party range and maneuver template tools are permitted as long as they match the dimensions of the official components, including center lines, and comply with the tournament regulations and Adepticon rules, including approval of the EO. So that's kind of good. That's a change from last year. So this is saying as long as your templates are match the size and specifications of official templates, you can bring them. I'm surprised there's not a caveat saying that it has to be in good taste and meet all the other regulations and whatnot for Adepticon. All right, dials, official components only. Covers may be modified or replaced, but it must be clear which maneuver is selected. And so long as they do not interfere with gameplay, players may not customize a dial cover in such a way that any part of the miniature represents the intellectual property of any party except Lucasfilm, including copyrighted logos, symbols, iconic elements, or other iconography. Dice, official components only. Dice may not be modified in any way other than the symbols may be colored for accessibility purposes, but modified dice must be approved by the EO. Dice from Star Wars Outer Rim and Star Wars Outer Rim Unfinished Business are allowed. Damage decks, official components only. Scenario feature models, official components. Third-party versions are permitted as long as they are the correct size and shape, do not interfere with gameplay, and comply with tournament regulations and Adepticon rules. Each round, the players will be required to agree on which set of markers they use. If they cannot agree, the player shall call a judge for a resolution. Obstacles: asteroids, debris clouds, gas clouds, loose cargo, spare parts, electronic chaff clouds. Official components only. Each player must include exactly 3 unique obstacles, only asteroids, debris cloud, or gas cloud, of their choice in the squad for placement in step 4, place obstacles of setup, and must use the same obstacles for the duration of the event. A player may not select 2 of the same obstacle as part of their squad. Obstacles from Epic and Huge Ship expansions are not permitted. Loose cargo, spare parts, and electronic chaff cloud may only be used if the appropriate upgrade card is brought and only played during the game. Devices: bombs, mines, remotes, electro chaff. Official components only. Custom third-party templates to simplify assist with dropping or launching devices are not permitted. Tokens, charges, markers, counters, turret arc indicators. Official components. Third-party versions are permitted so long as the tokens, charges, markers, counters, and indicators that are used are clear to what they represent, do not interfere with gameplay, and otherwise comply with tournament regulations and Adepticon rules. Charges, including shields, must have clearly marked active and inactive sites. Target lock tokens, which are a pair with one placed on a locking ship and the other on a locked ship, are permitted. Scorekeeping round trackers. Players may use any method to keep track of the score in game rounds. However, both the round of the game and the score must at all times be clear to both players and public, available to judges and the public. The EO encourages and recommends that both players keep score and compare their scores each round. The EO encourages and recommends that players use a paper score sheet to track the scores for each round. The EO anticipates having score sheets available. Squadless. Players must bring 2 hard copies, printed or legibly handwritten, of their squad list to each event. Each list must include all pilots, the upgrade assigned to each pilot, the 3 unique obstacles, only asteroids, debris clouds, and glass clouds, for the squad. 1 copy will be turned into the EO at the start of the event. The 2nd copy is for the player's opponent each round. Players must use the same submitted squad for the duration of the particular event. Component FAQ. Cards versus models versus token, which controls for upgrades such as S-foils, server motor S-foils, stabilized S-foils, integrated S-foils, pivot wing, and swivel wing. Players shall agree on whether the card or the appropriate token shall be controlling on which position such as foils and wings are in at the start of the match. Miniatures will not determine or have an impact on the board state. If agreement is reached, it is recommended that the player with such foils wings place a written notice face up with their pilot upgrade cards or marked on their score sheet indicating which items shall control them. Players are expected to play in a sportsmanlike manner. Can I remove charge tokens, standard charges, force charges, shields, or am I required to flip them over when they become inactive? Players are required to maintain the game state, including inactive charges. Removing a charge token instead of flipping it to the corresponding active and inactive creates ambiguity for whether or not the charge is missing or dropped versus inactive. Are critical damage markers required? Yes, a critical damage marker must be assigned to a ship that is critically damaged. Dice rolling expectations. Dice trays and dice towers. Dice trays and dice towers are not required. If one is used, unless there is an agreement among the players beforehand, a dice that lands outside of the dice tray or dice tower must be rolled. Cocked dice. A die that is cocked must be re-rolled. A die is cocked if it is not flat on one surface. Before re-rolling a cocked die, ensure that both players agree that it is cocked. If there is a disagreement, call a judge. Stacking balancing dice should not be used as a method of determining if a dice is cocked. Other dice that must be re-rolled. A die that lands off the table or accidentally falls out of your hand or dice cup while shaking them must be re-rolled. Players are encouraged to maintain a play area clear of components not currently in use, and make an effort to roll dice in a way that will not interfere with the game state. Players should make an effort to ensure that the results of the roll will be clearly visible to both players. Do not pick up or remove dice results until they have been resolved to the satisfaction of both players. If a player rolls too many dice, the player must pick up all of those dice and then re-roll the correct number. If the player rolls too few dice, the player must leave the roll intact and roll the required number of additional dice, adding the new result to the original roll. If a player would roll more dice than they have available, keep track of the rolled results and re-roll the dice necessary to equal to the total number of dice the player would have rolled at once. Note that these dice are not considered re-rolled for the purposes of modifying dice. When a player is instructed to re-roll a number of dice, the player must choose all the dice that will be re-rolled before re-rolling any. Purposeful manipulation of the dice in an attempt to roll them in any way that creates a specific desired outcome is considered unsporting conduct. Whew! That was a lot. Okay. So we got through all of that. There's a bunch more stuff that I could read, including the unconventional warfare document. Let's see how long this is real quick before I... Doobie-doobie-doo. Oh, this isn't very long. And this is kind of an alternate format, so I'm going to go ahead and read this. Just because I can. And we got time. And I haven't done an episode in a while, so this is good content. Okay. Star Wars X-Wing Unconventional Warfare League. Adepticon reserves the right to modify, update, clarify, or change event rules in the interest of making Adepticon the best event possible. Summary. All X-Wing side events are open to all players that have purchased the Adepticon event badge and a ticket to that event. This event is a standard game mode. Players may only use ships and upgrades that are available in standard game mode format. X-Wing tournament regulations and rules. This event will allow the use of Star Wars X-Wing miniature X-Wing expansions with release dates on or before March 8th and their corresponding rules. This includes Battle Over Endor scenario packs. The most up-to-date rules reference, Areta, tournament regulations, and scenarios have been collected or organized the following Google Drive for ease of use. If you have any questions, blah, 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 blah. player materials, and product legality. Players should have all materials needed to play X-Wing. This includes tokens, range rules, range rulers, templates, models, cards, etc. Review the Star Wars X-Wing Tournament Regulations. Refer to the component guideline document in the previous linked Google Folder Drive for details on third-party components. So, same thing applies. Okay, here we go. Event summary. This is a progressive event played for 3-plus days, focused on nude squad building options that provide players a new way to create their own stories about epic battles in the Star Wars galaxy. Unconventional warfare introduces several new concepts and rules for players to use during the event. Players can choose to follow the build restrictions for either fighter aces or heavy hitters and receive perks that align with their choice. Fighter aces. Each squad must only include small ships that are limited. Heavy hitters. Each squad must include at least two medium ships or one large ship. Each squad may include up to two small ships. Format. This event runs every day from 09 to 8 p.m. or 4 p.m. on Sunday. This ticket will allow you to participate in any and all days. Players are welcome to play against an opponent of their choosing, or have an opponent assigned to them on demand. Players in this event will receive tickets to spend on the AMG prize wall. They will be awarded 6 tickets per round they play for up to a max of 4 rounds per day across all AMG leagues. Players may only use ships and upgrades that are available in the standard game mode format. Each player must follow all squad building and tournament rules as stated in Star Wars X-Wing Rules Reference, Star Wars X-Wing Tournament Regulations, which are located on the AMG website. The tournament will use scenarios published by AMG available at there. Players are not required to bring printed squad lists for this event. Okay, interesting. Event schedule, Thursday, March 21st, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Friday, March 22nd, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Saturday, March 23rd, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sunday, March 24th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. All open play. Okay, so that is all of that. I'm kind of excited about the unconventional warfare. I think there's going to be some additional bits, little bit of information. Sorry, I'm reading something else. Okay. World Championship, that's what WC stands for. I can't believe I didn't get that. Anyway, so that covers all of that. I mentioned at the beginning of the episode that we had some big announcements, or I had some big announcements as far as that. And let me just start with this one. I'm not ending the podcast. So if you are worried about that, fret not. However, I do have a lot of stuff going on in my personal life, and it is difficult for me to maintain a weekly podcast. So from here on out, unless content or the whim arises, we'll be looking at a bi-monthly format. And what I mean by bi-monthly, and I might have used this wrong, it might be bi-weekly, but every other week. That'll give me time to kind of put stuff together and hopefully not miss too many episodes. So that's kind of the big one. If you haven't figured out by now, I am going to Worlds. So if you see me there, find me, say hi. But I think that'll do that for this episode, so let's move into our last segment. If you've made it this far, thank you very much for your time.
It means a lot to me. Please consider leaving a review however you consume this podcast. It lets other people know why they should listen and tell your friends. Thank you to our patrons, who without this podcast would not be possible. As you know, I like to end each episode with a question. And this week's question is...
For those not going to Worlds, what's your X-Wing plans for end of March? This is Sailor Joe, signing off.
You're not alone.